Right. I'm going to be talking actually about receiving the Father's love. That's what I want to talk about. But before I did that, to introduce it, I wanted to show a couple of clips of my favourite moments at the Olympics. And one is a fantastic moment where, is it Laclos, the name of the swimmer, South African swimmer, beats Phelps. And Claire Spaulding, or whatever her name is, interviews the dad, and he can't contain himself. It's, that's my boy, he's beautiful, every time I look at him I want to cry, you know. And it's just, is this live? And she's going, yes. And it's just a fantastic moment. And to me, it's like a picture of Father God. It's like that moment where Jesus comes out of the rivers of baptism and the heavens open, and Father says, that's my boy. Every time I look at him, he's beautiful. So I wanted to show that to introduce it. And then, bless her, Sarah's managed to find, I couldn't find my other little favourite bit, which is Sophie was watching the, well, she was watching the entirety of it, but a brief moment I'm going to mention is Peter Wilson doing the shooting. She goes, Mum, you've got to come in, you've got to come in, he's about to win the gold. I come in, he goes down to his only 1 point ahead. I'm thinking, don't do this to me, I'm getting stressed, and I don't even care about shooting, but I'm stressed. Anyway, he wins, and they're interviewing him, and they kind of say something to him like, where's your dad? And he goes, oh, I don't know, he's miles away, blah, blah, blah. And you just catch the very last bit, it's like, Dad! And his dad just comes in, vroom, doesn't care about anybody, cameras, nothing, grabs him. And I think the clip probably doesn't get you to hear it, but he says, Son, I'm really proud of you. I don't know whether we get that bit or not, but anyway, these are the clips. Fantastic, isn't it? Fantastic.
The men's double track final today, a new world record holder, looking to emulate Richard Fuld's goal from Sydney 12 years ago. Here's the incredible story of his day.
The men's double track final was targeted as the home nation's best chance of a shooting medal, and there is the big British hope, Peter Wilson. He starts this final 3 points clear of his nearest challengers, of Sweden. 10 shots left. Mossin of Russia and Wilson of Great Britain. And a 4-shot lead. Cut to 2. But these two in hand now for Wilson. Oh, and he's missed them both. Absolutely incredible. So his lead has been cut from 4-2. It's been halved. And this man is the main threat now to Peter Wilson. Håkan Dahlby of Sweden has missed once in the final. And he maintains the pressure on Wilson. Great work in the stand on the edge of a gold medal at their home Olympics. This is Dahlby. He's up to 186. Peter Wilson needs these targets to win gold for Great Britain. And he does it! Peter Wilson has done it! He has won gold! He's 6th in his knees! He's won gold for Great Britain! He held his nerve brilliantly!
myself, I'll allow myself to look back at the board and on about the fourth pair, came round to one and missed the pair, and I thought, well, I came in with a lead as a possibility. Oh, what a feeling. It's just, I really don't know what to say.
You're an Olympic gold medalist.
I am. That's really weird to say that. I'm an Olympic gold medalist. How strange. Thanks for the
congratulations! Well done!
An incredible gold, and while that was going on, just a few minutes later, another gold was being won. It was an incredible fight.
Over. That's brilliant. So those are my two absolute fave moments, but they, to me, they're like little windows into how Father feels about us, and so that's what I want to talk about today. So yes. But I'm going to do a little nod to the beautiful, the wonderful, the gorgeous Emily Hollands, who always likes you to do a little bit about yourself before you start. So, do I just click this thing? I like beards. I just thought I'd tell you that. I was going to say I like beards on men, but I thought that was a bit redundant. I don't really want beards on women. Nobody wants beards on women, so that's fine. Okay, so I like beards. That's in because my husband has shaved his beard off for charity, and I'm not best pleased. So it's just a little nag. Here is a beard, another beard. I am an absolute fanatic of Lord of the Rings. I've read it 7 or 8 times. If I talk about it too much, I have to go home and watch the entirety of the films. I don't like my daughter because we play Trivial Pursuit, Lord of the Rings. I've never won it. A lot of the times when I play with her, I don't even get a go because she can answer everyone. And I'm having senior moments like, main guy, hero, and I can't think Aragorn. Do you know what I mean? When I'm trying to play the game. So Lord of the Rings, absolutely fanatic. Favourite sound. Get ready, this is my favourite sound. I can't give you the sound effects, but this is my favourite sound. That little moment when that spoon taps the creme brulee, that sharp burnt sugar, before it plunges into the smooth, silky, creamy. Yeah, you know where I'm going. But that's one of my favourite sounds. One of my favourite things, trees. One of my favourite trees, silver birch trees. Love autumn, but my favourite thing, the bleaker the better. No leaves on the trees. The silhouette of the trees against the skyline. Fantastic. Favourite time of the day, not dawn, sorry, but dusk. I love dusk. And the bleak of the landscape, get that wind really blowing, get the rain falling. I feel alive. I want to be out there walking in it. Soul Survivor, been there, bought a lot of those T-shirts. Toilets, let's not go there. But bleak landscape. Bleak landscape, I want to go out there. I love it. I was born to live in Britain. So, yeah, those are some of my favourite things. I don't know where Emily is, but there you go. You know all about me now. Okay, so this scripture, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this has been a scripture that has meant lots of different things to me. Over the years, when I first became a Christian, I found it really embarrassing. I thought, oh no, it's going to mean I'm going to have these conversations with people and they're going to want me to, you know, say they're absolutely fine, and I'm going to have to say, no, there's only one way and it's through Jesus, and I'm going to make them feel really uncomfortable, and I'm going to feel like some sort of extremist, non-British, you know, tolerant person. And anyway, Father explained to me that I could make people comfortable all the way to hell, or I could just tell them that Jesus saves. So I've kind of moved a bit on that one now. And then when I used to read it, it's funny how you think you know it and you don't. So when I used to read it, it would be, no one gets to heaven except through me. That's just how I read it. Or that's the way to get saved. The only way to get saved is through Jesus. And I didn't notice that it said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And that's been like a revelation for me just over the last year. Jesus is the way, but the Father is the destination. And that the fact that Jesus died and went through what he did for me to know Father God as my Father, it means it's incredibly important to him. It's incredibly important to him that I know him as my dad. That is literally why Jesus died. And for me, just one of the things, the sort of byproduct, as it were, of knowing God as my Father is that I relax. I'm sort of one of these kind of hyper-alert sort of people, quite a lot of nervous energy, quite anxious a lot of the time. And I know when I relax, it's all so much easier. I hear God, I know what to do, he can use me. I'm in situations, I can feel the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's great, but most of the time I don't relax, you know, because I need to really know he's my dad and he's with me. He's got it all under control. I'm just a little kid, but I've got a big daddy. And if I know that, I chill. And when I chill, God really can move. So to me, knowing Father means I'm going to be so much more effective, apart from what I really like, which is to be so much happier. I like being happy. And I was thinking this morning about that story. It's a funny little story, but where Jacob worked 7 years, do you remember, to win, well, he thought he was winning Rachel. Yeah, but he got Leah, but we'll put that to one side. And it says something in the Bible, like, really corny, something like, but it was just like a, you know, it just went round really fast, like a day almost. Those 7 years just went like that because he was so in love. And for me, I will do an awful lot of things because I think it's the right thing to do. And I'm very dutiful and loyal. But when I really love somebody, I will pull out all the stops. And I don't even notice I'm pulling out the stops because it's just coming out of my heart. And that's when you know Father God and you really know his love. That's how you work. You work from this place of pulling out the stops because you just love him, and you don't notice you're pulling out the stops because it's just natural. And he really wants us to be in a very satisfying relationship with him, and that is what Jesus paid the price for. And I was looking at this scripture. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And again, I don't know, I've changed a little bit. When I first used to kind of think about eternal life, sort of on a cloud, somehow I can manage to play a harp, never could before, and I'm really bored, like, da-ling, da-ling, what do I do? Is that eternal life? I'm just going to heaven, sitting on a cloud, da-ling, da-ling, really bored. But what I found amazing is Jesus is talking about an incredible quality of relationship, of real intimacy, of knowing him. And that is actually eternal life. Having a relationship with him is what he calls eternal life. Not living forever and eternity in heaven, which is part of it, but it's my relationship with him. So we get a lot of people put knowing God as kind of using that word I hate, intimacy, because I find that difficult. Bill Johnson, who I love, talks about the voice, being listening to the voice of God and doing everything by the voice of God. Jesus said he only did what he heard the Father say and what he saw the Father do. And that's that eternal life, that's that knowing God. So you're constantly living aware of his presence, aware of his voice, of what he wants you to do. What an effective, amazing life if we really know Father God, isn't it? It's what we want, isn't it? So while I've been thinking about that, I've had this other, that was for Geraldine, came, gave us this lovely picture. Do you remember Geraldine? Where are you, Geraldine? Can't see. Cooey. About the child running into the father's arms. We had that a couple of weeks ago, so that's a little nod to you. What I've been thinking about, and about Father's passion for us to know him. And then this scripture has been really sticking out to me a lot. It's the bit where Peter and John are walking to the temple and they see the beggar who's crippled, and the beggar looks at him, they look at back at him, and Peter says to him, I don't have any silver and gold. I haven't got any coins to give you, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. Get up and walk. And I've found that amazingly challenging, that he, when Jesus died and went to rise again, when he went to ascend into heaven, he said to the disciples, I'm giving you power and authority. I have all power and authority. I'm giving it to you. And Peter knew he had it. And so he said, what I have, I give you. Get up. And the guy got up. I'm really challenged by that. I really want to have that sense in myself that I know what I have. I've got the authority of Jesus. I think, did people see the guy this week who was trying to get it passed that he could be assisted suicide because he's been 5 years, I think. And I feel like I want them to know you can come to church and we will pray and you will get healed. You don't need assisted suicide. You need life. You need the giver of life. And like people coming saying, let's go to LifeSpring Church. I hear they pray and Jesus does amazing things. What about if that was the church in England, the church in Britain, that you came to the church, you know, desperate in that. I mean, the poor guy, I don't blame him at all. I wouldn't want to live like that. It's outrageous that he's living like that. But Jesus is the answer, isn't it? So I want to get to a place and asking God to give me, you know, that kind of confidence. I know what I have. But I was thinking about it in terms of the Father's love. You know, he really wants us to be confident that we know we have the Father's love. You know, we're going to have people coming who are, to all intents and purposes, orphans. They may have a mum or dad, but they're orphans. And they will know if really what we have is just something in our heads or something theoretical. Because they're shrewd. They know when you're just putting it on. And we want to really have something to give away, the love of God, really in our hearts. And we can say, I don't have that, but I do have this. Come and have some love. So one of the sort of overall aim for me, and I say this to myself, and I say this to you, is I want us to be brilliant at receiving the love of God. And I want us to be absolutely stonkingly brilliant at giving his love away. Yes. So, but this talk is born out of that. Frustration with the whole flipping thing of receiving God's love. I am sick to death of going to talks where people tell me that I need the love of God. I am so sick of it. In my mind, I get them by the throat, I push them up against the wall, and I go, I know. Then I remember I'm a Christian, and in my mind, I sort of dust them down, sort out the tie, sort them all out. I'm going, yeah, but I just want to know how. I'm sick to death of being told I need this. I don't need to be told I need it. I know that I need it. What I want to know is how. So I get really, really, really irritated. I'm frustrated. And a lot for me of this journey of knowing God as my Father has been flipping annoying and irritating and frustrating because I've got my little picture. My head is saying, God loves me. It's in the Bible. I'm not going to argue with it. If God says it, it's true. But in lots of circumstances, my heart's going, no, he doesn't. I don't feel he does. And I'm in situations where I find probably the best way I know I'm not relaxed in knowing God loves me is I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling frightened, I'm feeling stressed. And I will realize that my heart is saying, I don't really know. I don't really know, I don't really believe it. And I thought I could just say, we're believing it, shut up, we're going for it. But it really doesn't work like that, does it? So I used to be like this. God loves me, it says so in the Bible, that's the truth. I'm not going to argue, but believe it. But now, I'm like this. God loves me. It's the truth. I want to really cooperate with the Holy Spirit so my heart genuinely believes that God loves me. And there isn't this situation where I know what I should be thinking, but my heart is really telling me something else. Because it really makes a difference how you live, how you receive, how you flow with what God wants to do, how effective you are, and quite frankly, how happy you are. And I want to be happy, and God made me to be happy. And I've found it really frustrating, and I've realized that the problem isn't God's. He's not closed the door. We've just sung so many things, haven't we, about the love of God, and nothing can separate me from the love of God. So I've realized that the problem's been my end. And so I've been really sort of on this journey of saying to the Lord, how do I sort out whatever it is that's making it so difficult for me to receive your love? How do I get it from my head to my heart? And I look at people and I see them struggling with various things in their lives, and I think, I really want them to know God's love, because his love satisfies. And when you feel satisfied with his love, you don't mess about with loads of rubbish, get into stupid relationships, dabble with things you shouldn't dabble with, because you are satisfied. You aren't trying to quench your own thirst. You're getting satisfied by the love of God. So it's a really important thing. One of the things I was going to say, one of my attempts at receiving God's love, which was hilarious, is I went to Toronto, and it was at a time when I was really, 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 really unhappy. And so I was desperate for God to meet with me, really desperate. And they have like sort of tape on the floor, and you stand in a line, and there's like rows and rows of people behind you, and they have it really quite organized so that they can have catchers and, you know, look after you if they're praying for you and you fall over or anything. And I was in a room, and there was probably about 200 people, I think, in the room, and the guy wasn't even getting to touch people, so he was going like that, walking along, as if you're like, you know, rattling a railing with your stick, you know, sort of walking along like that, but he didn't even get to hit touch people's heads, because they were just going boom, 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 boom down. Got to me, I'm stood like rock solid, and it just felt like he slapped me one, and then he carried on boom, 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 and literally everybody fell over, and I was like, I've just been slapped round the head. And I thought, God, I know in a few years' time you and I will laugh about this, because I have got a good sense of humour, but at the moment I'm feeling I've come up for prayer, I've come up desperate for you, and what I've got is a slap round the chops. There's got to be better than this. And it really made me aware as well that a huge stronghold for me was rejection. And if you really kind of believe that you're not worthy of love, or that God doesn't love you, or he has favorites and he loves other people but he doesn't love you, or he tolerates you, that is a major blockage to receiving. So it has really done my head in big time, learning to receive the Father's love. And so I was saying to the Lord about it, and I felt like there were two how-tos that I could talk about. There's loads of how-tos, and lots of people have got probably other things they could say about receiving God's love, but I felt I just wanted to concentrate on two, or we'd be here all day. And the first one I want to talk about is dealing with ungodly beliefs. What you believe in your heart really affects how you receive the love of God. Sarah and Craig, brilliant last week. What an act to follow. Sarah read out a bit from Romans, didn't you? Romans 15, I think. God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's something like that, isn't it? And there's a really key bit. It says, as you trust in him. And I think the Amplified has it, something like, as you believe in him. And it's what we're believing really affects whether we receive and live in the good of who God is. So I want to deal with and talk about dealing with ungodly beliefs. And one of the difficulties with dealing with ungodly beliefs is that if you're like me, you know what you ought to believe. And so it's quite hard realizing that you don't actually believe it, because I'm incredibly loyal, so I know what I should believe, I know what the Bible says, so it sometimes makes it difficult for me to realize what I'm really believing. And also, I'm a bit of quite a few things really, but we won't talk about that, but a bit awkward, and I get a bit irritated with myself when I find out what I really believe. I find it embarrassing, because to me it's a bit wimpish, because I realise, oh, for goodness sake, you know, that's what you really believe. And I get really irritated, you know, because I think I should be functioning better than that. But what God really wants is for us to be honest. And so what I've found is when I'm in situations, particularly where I have a bit of an extreme reaction of fear, anxiety, worry, stress, getting upset, I have to take a little step back and think, I've stepped out of the love of God and I've stepped into fear. What is it I'm believing? What is it I'm believing that's making it difficult for me to receive the love of God in this situation? Now, I have to say, this is not a sexy subject, because what we really want is for somebody to pray for us. Da-da-da-da-da-da! It's all sorted. But actually, this is one of these really irritating things, as she gets irritated a lot, that you have to do for yourself. The Bible makes it really clear it's your job to renew your mind. It's your job to take captive every thought. So it is your job to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's our job to kind of work it out, because most of the things, I wouldn't work them out unless the Holy Spirit revealed them to me. About what's going on in my heart, because I tend to wander around thinking I'm fine and ignoring everything. So I don't think it's up to us to work it out, but when he reveals it to us, it is our job to say, okay, I'm going to work with you, Holy Spirit. This is what I'm believing. What's the truth? And it doesn't happen overnight. You have to keep talking to your heart, telling your heart the truth until it really believes it. And it takes a while. So here's my little list of what you need to do. That's when I say to myself, oh, I'm feeling a bit, what's happened? And I ask the Holy Spirit. I find this one difficult to do because I'm a bit of a know-it-all. I'm sure I know what's going on, but often I don't actually really. So I pretend that I ask, I should ask. Why am I feeling like this? Holy Spirit, what is the lie that I'm believing? What have my experiences taught me? That is the truth, which isn't the truth at all, about who you are and how you feel about me. This is key for us as Christians in terms of healing. Who do I need to forgive? Is there somebody I need to release forgiveness to, who's encouraged me to believe this? And Holy Spirit, what is the truth that you want to give me? So I was going to give you a little example. I was at a meeting and the lady said, picture Father God in your mind. And she said a really useful thing. She said, there's no right or wrong picture. So I pictured God, and what I saw was God with a great big piece of really strong metal, you know, that kind of grey tape you get that we sort of sometimes use to put the wires, like this great big bit of tape was across his mouth. And because it's the Holy Spirit, lots of things go click, 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 and you work it out immediately and you think you're really clever, but it's actually the Holy Spirit. But for me, I didn't have conversations with my dad at all. Apart from, shut that door, be quiet, or shut up, or whatever. And in fact, when I first went out with Jamie, I'd get in the car, and with my dad, the minute he got in the car, he became Mr. Rhodes Rage 2012, like terrifying. And we were not allowed to talk. so he could concentrate. So when we first started going out, Jamie said to me afterwards, do you realise every time you get in the car, you stop talking? And I was absolutely trained. You know, or it'd be, shut up! So I was really trained. But what God was showing me with this big sticky tape across his mouth was that with my head, I know God loves me. He's in a relationship with me. A relationship means he wants to talk to me. I can hear his voice. He's told me his sheep hear his voice. It's not something that I have to try and make happen. It's what he's given me. But my heart's going, you don't want to talk to me. And actually, you can't talk to me because of what my father was like. So for me, I had to say, God, I'm really sorry for believing this lie you've shown me, that I'm believing this lie that you can't talk to me, you don't want to talk to me. And I release forgiveness to my dad for not talking to me, not taking the time to talk to me, not nurturing me, not making an effort, showing me worth in that way. And Father, I want to repent of saying you're like my dad. And I want to repent of believing that you're like my dad. Now, for me, that's quite a difficult thing to do because I know the right answer. I know what I should be thinking. But I have to be, he's showing me what is really going on. And hearing God has been one of these really irritating, for me, frustrating things. And it's been because of a belief system. So, and obviously, if I want to know God's love, I want to be able to hear him tell me he loves me. And I want to be good at hearing him tell me he loves me. But while I had that belief that I can't hear God because he's not going to talk to me, he doesn't want to talk to me, in fact, he's unable to talk to me, I couldn't. So you get these things where you feel irritated, if you're me, frustrated, you're probably a lot nicer than me, a bit more trusting, then it's a real awareness that there's a belief system in you that is stopping you from receiving. So it's something I can't emphasize, encourage you to do enough, is to really ask the Holy Spirit, show me what lies I'm believing. Show me what's really going on in my heart. I know that you love me. I know that you died for me so that I could know Father. The problem's my end. Help me out here, God. Show me where the problems are, and let's deal with them together. And it does take time. I have to really honor Sophie and Sarah because they are absolutely ruthless with their ungodly beliefs, and they're always ringing me up and saying, oh, I'm upset about this, but I dealt with my ungodly beliefs and I'm praying the truth and blah, blah, blah. And I've seen them really, really change because of it and get loads happier because of it. And they really nobble me all the time. Mum, well, it's obvious you're believing this. Have you done your ungodly beliefs? I'm like, So it does take time. I can't do it for you. It will change your life. Anybody like MasterChef like me? Anybody? It's going to change their life. So it will change your life. So this is the other thing I just wanted to talk about. Closing the door on sonship. That's the other thing God's been really talking to me about, and it has changed my life in terms of receiving the love of God. So I suppose what I'm saying is when you're little, your parents are like your heroes, aren't they? They can do no wrong. You think they're absolutely fantastic. I've got lovely memories of my mum giving me piggybacks because I was tired on my way home from a party and things like that. Just always, you know, my favourite memory, used to get lots of tummy ache when I was little. Magic cardigan moments. Go into mum in the middle of the night. Here's the magic cardigan. Put it on, Debs. You're going to feel better. You know, got this little cardigan on. Love from mum. She always knew what to do. Perfect. You know, it's these really lovely memories, aren't they, when they're little. But there always comes a point where you get a bit disillusioned and they let you down. They're not perfect. None of us are. And for me, I've got like a definite moment where mum crossed a line. That was it. And I closed the door. Now, I don't think my mum would ever know that I did that because I was outwardly completely polite, still doing all the things I used to do, loyal, loving, but inwardly, I'm like that. With my dad, I have no distinct memory because I never had a relationship with him, so I almost feel like in the womb, you know, because I just had nothing, you know? But what I didn't realise is I felt like they'd hurt me, I knew, and I'd prayed and I'd forgiven them and worked through stuff. But what I didn't realise was at that moment, I'd closed the door and said, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm more reliable than you. I'm closing the door. And when I was in Toronto last year on a kind of a little training 3 weeks, Jamie and I went for a holiday there. The guy, Barry Adams, I think his name is, he's got a really brilliant website if you want to sort of explore the Father Heart of God. And he sort of said, I want to lead you in a prayer of just opening that door again to sonship because it really affects how you receive the Father's love. And it was like a revelation to me. It's like so obvious, isn't it? But it was like a revelation. And when I said this little prayer, you know, no thunder, lightning, fizziness, nothing, just yet, just prayed the prayer. And he said, oh, just stand about. We're just going to play some floaty music. They always play floaty music. And, you know, if you want us to pray for you, we'll pray for you, blah, blah, blah. And I stood there, and it was amazing because I was relaxed. And I'm never relaxed. I'm always like, I was completely relaxed. The second thing that was amazing, I was happy. Completely just happy. Nothing, you know, I'm normally like, is this right? No. Completely happy. And then I realized this amazing thing, and it's so simple, and it's probably going to sound really pathetic, but it was like amazing to me. I realized I wanted to be absolutely brilliant at being loved by God. And there was no agenda. Normally for me, I want to be brilliant. I want to raise the dead, want my shadow to heal people. I want 6 people to get saved. I want to have prophesied. You know, a cell hasn't been good unless, you know, we've raised somebody from the dead. Somebody's got miraculously healed. Cancers have fought, you know, so I'm never happy at cell, you can imagine. But I had this moment where it was just about being with Father. And I just felt really relaxed and happy and loved. And I realized he'd put in me this desire just to be brilliant at receiving his love. And it's life-changing. So simple and like nothing super-dupery, but it was like life-changing. It's the beginning, like in a seed form, because I'm still not totally there, of him changing who I am, my foundations being, resting in the knowledge that I have a dad who will not let me down, who says, who does what he says he will do, who is who he says he is, who won't, you know, not be there when I need him. I can relax and I can chill. So it was really amazing for me. Now, you know when you watch sport and they say, if you don't want to hear the score, turn away now. So Jamie, if you don't want to hear the next bit, just stick your fingers in now. So I won't say any of Jamie's story because that's his story, but he prayed that prayer as well because he was there with me. Now, I have to say about Jamie, you want to go la, 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 you're very welcome. He is brilliant at his job, absolutely brilliant at his job. He's a fantastic manager. He's a fantastic lawyer. He's brilliant. He's always been brilliant at it. But since he prayed that prayer, it's amazing. His boss has rung him up. I've got 3 things to say to you, and they're basically, you're brilliant, and you're brilliant. You know, he's got people writing him letters. Oh, I'm so glad that you're now taking over this particular team. You're going to work your magic. It's like suddenly, Jamie, something's changed in him, and he can start to receive. I know they're different people and managers and stuff, but it's really, it's the Father saying, you're brilliant, you're my son, I'm proud of you, well done. And he hasn't been able to receive that. It's not been that Father hasn't been saying it. A door has been closed in his heart. I closed my heart to my dad, my mum, I've closed it. And he's opened it and it has changed. It has changed something for him. And, you know, when you know God is your Father, it's about significance, isn't it? It's one of the things he puts into you, makes you feel worth something, and it makes you realize you're significant. And that's what, when the door is open, you start to hear him say, I'm proud of you, I'm pleased with you. And gradually, over time, your heart begins to believe it. Done to begin with, if you're me, but he begins to believe it. So that to me has been an amazing key for my life and for Jamie. You can now take your fingers out of your ears, love, if you want to. And the last thing I want to say is, God is faithful. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. One of the things I've noticed about myself is I'm going for this. And then somebody says, I'm reading this really good book. And I think, oh, I'm going for that. And then, oh, I think I'm going to do a series on this in cell. And then somebody tells me something else. I say, oh, no, I think I'm going to do this. And I realise I've got like a pile of books and I've read a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here. But if you actually go for the one thing and go for it over time and really earnestly seek the Lord, you will receive. You really will receive the love of God. It's the problem's not his end, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, he will help you get rid of all the blockages. He is absolutely faithful. I know for myself, I've got a way to go, but I am so a totally different person from the person I was when I first started coming to church in Reading 20 years ago, anxiety ridden, just didn't know the love of God at all. In my heart, just in theory. So he is absolutely faithful, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So that's my little talk. Neville's got 151,000, wasn't it brilliant today, things for us to respond to. But I wonder if before we could do that, I could pray a prayer that you could say about opening the door, because that's one thing we could do together. I haven't thought of something and written it and got it on the screen, but it would be something along the lines of, I should have thought about this, Debs, before you did it. Father, I want to repent of closing the door to sonship. I want to, you know, forgive my mum and dad for being people that made me want to close the door. And I'm opening it to you, and I want to become brilliant at receiving your love. So something like that. If I said a little bit and you said it after me, to be, would that be kosher? And it is a process. So if you would like more prayer about it, because it's a hard thing for you to do, we'd love to pray with you about it. But honestly, I prayed that prayer. I did it in faith. And over time, I have seen a change in me. So it's one practical thing I think we can do to get us good at receiving his love. So that'd be cool if we could just stand and we'll go for it. Stand, because we're doing it in faith, not because I'm asking you to stand, but just like we're owning it. Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to say a prayer and then we'll do our bit together. Holy Spirit, I just really want to invite you. I want to thank you that you search our hearts. Thank you that you know the way to our hearts. Thank you that you are a burning fire, that you are rivers of living water, that you are love, and you are so, so, so good. And you love us. And I just want to invite you to come, Holy Spirit. We want to be brilliant at inviting you, Holy Spirit, and of being led by you, Holy Spirit. And we want what you do, Holy Spirit, of giving us that spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba. And we know God as our dad. And we want to be brilliant at that. So can you come and take this little thing I'm going to do and make it resonate with your power in each one of these hearts, and do something amazing that sets us free and gets us more and more brilliant at receiving your love. Amen. Yeah. So, Father God, I repent of closing the door to sonship. And right now, I make a choice to forgive my mum and dad for encouraging me to do that. Yeah. 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 And Father, I open my door of my heart to you. Empower me to be brilliant at receiving your love.